Sarx. Praise God, the same word that the Apostle Paul used when he described flesh. Praise the name of my Lord. And there is something that the Bible says about flesh. Is there anybody in here that don't know something about flesh? Can I tell you about flesh? Flesh is deteriorating. Flesh is no good. Can I tell you that flesh is up to no good? Because if it was up to flesh, flesh would not want to serve God. Can I tell you something? Paul even knew that, because Paul penned at Romans chapter 7, I believe 18. He said, praise God, for in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Praise God, what he's trying to tell you, when I want to do good, evil is at every hand. When I want to turn right, there is something telling me to turn left. There is something about this flesh of ours. But Jesus, regardless of what the flesh was like, he took on bodily form and came down here with all of the mess that's associated with flesh. But you know why he did it? He did it so that he can show you and I that you can make it in this world. You can have flesh, but you don't have to be fleshly. He bared witness, and I'm so glad. Praise my name. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm so glad. Praise God, my brothers and my sisters, that God's affirmative action program became a reality. Praise God in my life. I'm so glad that he was born over 2,000 years ago in a lonely manger. Did not have any room for him to be born. I'm so glad that over 2,000 years ago, he walked this earth for 33 and a half years. And even though it was short, and even though he walked it in humanly flesh, with everything that goes on with flesh, I'm so glad that after 33 and one half years, he went up a hill called Calvary. He walked up a rugged hill called Calvary. I'm so glad that he died on that cross. Praise God for my sin and your sins. I'm so glad, praise God, that after he died, they put him in a borrowed grave where he stayed dead 3 days and three nights. But I'm so glad, I'm overwhelmingly glad, that after 3 days, he got up and declared, I got all power in my hand. But my gladness doesn't stop there. I'm glad that he got up out of that grave, walked around this earth for 40 days, and then one day he stepped on a cloud, took him on up. I'm so glad that he now sits beside his Father at the right hand. You know what the right hand means? That's a position of authority. He's interceding for me. He's interceding for you. I'm so glad. I'm glad of it. I'm glad about it. Another thing that I'm glad, that after he stayed in that grave 3 days and three nights, he got up.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
K-A-Y-T. WPET, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Anger, bitterness, and anxiety, even some life-dominating sin, or whatever the case may be. Well, the problem is you know you can't handle it by yourself, and you need the Lord. Are you with me here? Reverend Coleman just made his testimony this morning. He didn't try in his own strength to bring his blood down, but he had to call on the Lord. And every time we call on the Lord, it just let us know how frail we are and how strong he is. And so in the text, we find Jacob faced with that kind of crisis as he is returning to Canaan in obedience to God to face Esau, his brother, whom he had cheated 20 years before out of his birthright. And Jacob didn't know how Esau would receive him. And so when Jacob's messenger came back and told him that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men, Jacob froze with fear and began praying to God, according to verse 11, saying, "Oh God, deliver me from my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack not only me, but my wives and children as well." And so Jacob took his wives, servants, and company over across the Jabbok River to the south side, and he went alone to the north bank. Because Jacob's plan, amen, had been that if Esau attacked one camp, him being in the other, he could escape. But that wasn't God's plan. Because the way God helps us is by breaking us of our inherent self-dependence so that we will learn to lean and depend totally on him. Because our problem many times that, like Jacob, we all want to use God and his blessings to further our own ends. And so the Bible reveals that all of Jacob's life he had been using God and people to get what he wanted for himself. But now God is getting ready to show Jacob that you don't use God, but you submit to him. Because when you submit to God, he blesses us. And so in order to break Jacob, he has to have a wrestling match with God. And so this morning, I don't know if you know it, but we have some ringside seat to witness the wrestling match of all time. Because this is no doubt the most unusual wrestling match in history. Now, this event takes place in the open air arena beside the Jabbok River. And in one corner stands Jacob, affectionately known as Big Jake or the Schemer. And yes, Lord. And in the other corner is God himself. What a billing we have here, Big Jake versus Jehovah. And so here in the text, we have a blow-by-blow account of Jacob's wrestling match with the omnipotent God. But how foolish is this, someone may be thinking, who in the world would take God Almighty on one-on-one in a wrestling match? Well, believe it or not, if the truth be told, all of us at one point in time have taken on God. In other words, we've stepped in the ring, so to speak, and wrestled with him about life. Perhaps right now, as we speak, someone could be struggling with God about a situation or some problem or some difficulty or injustice he or she has encountered. And that's why I believe it'd be good for us to sit down in our ringside seats and learn a lesson from Jacob's wrestling with God. And believe it or not, but the road that led to this encounter with God began even before Jacob was born. Because the Bible says, according to Genesis 25:19-26, that Jacob's mother, Rebekah, was disturbed by the wrestling match that was going on in the stomach between Jacob and his twin brother Esau. Because these two were, yes, destined to become two nations, and there they were in their mother's womb, duking it out Amen. For dominance. And the Bible says that when they came forth from their mother's womb, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel as if to pull him back in an effort to be the firstborn, which was a position of prominence in the Hebrew family. And so the family, observing this unusual trait in this baby, named him Jacob. Because in the ancient Hebrew culture, a person's name carried him the very essence and identity of that person. In other words, the Hebrew parents didn't just choose a name for their baby because it sounded good, nor did they choose one just because it was a popular name, but because they chose it because the name fit the child. And therefore, the Jacob name means supplanter, schemer, cheater, and one who grabs from behind. And so the remainder of his life up until this main event revealed that Jacob was properly named. He wrestled with Esau, his brother, to obtain his birthright. And he and his mother formed a tag team as they wrestled with his father to obtain the blessing of the firstborn. He wrestled with his uncle Laban, who, yes, gave him a run for his money over flock herds and his daughters. And now he's about to wrestle with God. And so everything that has happened and was happening in his life had been leading up to this one critical and crucial encounter. Because by name and by nature, Jacob has for a long time walked the roads of his own choosing, which was the road of self-will, the road of selfish goals, which was the road of his own strength and resources. But now all the roads led past the Jabbok River. The word Jabbok means wrestling. And so one may wonder, what is it that had brought Jacob to this spiritual crisis in his life? And as he sits on this River Jordan all by himself. Well, obviously, one reason is his name and nature. And Jacob is growing weary of wrestling and struggling with his life. How many here today who might be just weary of struggling and wrestling with your life? You ought to just turn loose and let God have his way. Are you with me? Sure. Yeah, Jacob had some previous encounters with God, but despite the Lord's blessings upon his life, Jacob was still insistent on singing that old song that said, I did it my way. How many of you today are singing that song, I did it my way? But now all he has now to show for his insistence in doing it his way and not God's way are a bunch of family problems. Because when he left home, his father was no doubt disappointed in him. His brother Esau swore to kill him. And then he wasn't that popular with his uncle Laban and his in-laws. And to top it off, he got two wives who are continually fighting against each other. In other words, Jacob's family is a mess. But now come the main event. Now, it could be that Jacob had begun to pray that night, and perhaps in agony of soul, he cried out to the Lord. Perhaps it was the first time in his life to earnestly wrestle in prayer. It was as though he sensed that God was really present with him. And so God's presence and purpose became more and more real to Jacob until suddenly he was real. His uplifted arms were actually clinging to God himself. There he was, flesh to flesh, bone to bone in human form. In other words, Jacob found himself wrestling with an angel, which was an epiphany of the incarnate Christ. And all of a sudden, Jacob, in his depression, he realized the precious opportunity before him. He knew that if he let go, then God would leave him with his needs unmet, his prayers unanswered. And so Jacob wrestled with God back and forth. And he used some popular terms that he used in the wrestling. He used some hammer locks and head locks. And he used some full Nelsons and some scissors. And the struggle went on and on for hours. Here we see God in his grace and mercy was allowing Jacob to wrestle and to work out his fleshly nature and his anxieties. prosper. In his struggle, in his wrestling, his faith and understanding was growing. But the turning point came when God touched Jacob in the hollow of his thigh. And when he did that, he dislocated the ball socket joint of his thigh, and suddenly he was weakened and immobilized. And Jacob yelled out in pain, and he stopped wrestling and started clinging. Are y'all with me? Now, there's a difference between wrestling and clinging, because to wrestle is to contend, to fight for dominance, but to cling is just to hold on. To hold on and grasp for desperation. And so here in verse 26, the pre-incarnate Christ knew that the morning light was breaking. And so he told Jacob, let me go for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Here we see that Jacob was persistent in his prayer. Persistence in his plea and serious in his request to God, even though his body was racked with pain. Now, how many of you today, when you're clinging and praying to the Lord, just because he doesn't come right away and deliver you, you let go? My brothers and sisters, you ought to still hold on, because now Jacob was holding on in faith and not wrestling in fear. My brothers and sisters, the Lord desires our prayer to be fervent and persistent. How do we know that? Because Jesus says in Luke 11, 9 and 10, he said, ask and it shall be given. He said, seek and you'll find. He said, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. But now the key here is to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking until your answer to your prayers come. And this is not wrestling with God in fear, but it's holding on in faith until your breakthrough comes. And so in the text, God, yes, Lord, blesses Jacob. Not because he had to or was forced to, but because Jacob was ready to receive the blessing. But before you can be blessed, he must break us of our self-dependence as we cling to him in brokenness. And I need to tell you that brokenness is the path to blessing. Because before God can use a person greatly, he has to break you. Why is this? Because we all have our built-in propensities to trust in our own strength, to trust in ourselves. Thus, God must break us of our self-dependence. Because all of Jacob's life, he had thought that Esau and Laban was his adversaries. And so he had struggled and schemed to get the blessings he thought these men was taking from him. This is a lesson to all of us. You don't have to try to be jealous and try to get what somebody else has. Because whatever God has for you, it is for you. All you got to do is just wait on the Lord. Are y'all here with me? Blessings. He was waiting for the blessing that God had promised to give him anyway. Yeah, he was struggling and fighting where God had already promised to give him the blessing, but he didn't know it. But ever at some point in this struggle, Jacob discovers to his horror that actually he was his own adversary. Some of us are our own worst enemies. We're looking around at everybody else, but we are our own enemies because we're standing in our own way. Are y'all here with me? Yes. And so then God had to wrestle with him into submission in order to reveal to him. But in the same way like Jacob, many times we too think that the enemy the problem is out there, as I always say. Yes, somebody believes that the problem may be my wife. Yes, it may be my husband. It may be my parents. Well, it could be my boss. Well, it could be some my poor circumstances. But in reality, the enemy and problem isn't really out there, but the problem is right there in you and right there in me. It's in my flesh and your flesh, my sinfulness and your sinfulness. Are y'all here with me? And the selfish nature that dominates my life and your life. And so God has revealed to you and me the power of our flesh before he can deliver us from it. Because obviously God could have crippled Jacob in the first minute of the contest. So you wonder, why didn't he do it sooner? Why did he allow the wrestling match to last all night long? My brothers and sisters, God wanted to show Jacob the power of self-will. And so the Lord kept waiting to see if Jacob would surrender. But he kept on fighting. And so it was only until God crippled him that Jacob gave in. And so to make sure that Jacob has learned the lesson, the Lord asked him a question as he clings to the Lord. And so in verse 27, the Lord asks, what is your name? Now, God knew the answer, but he wanted Jacob to confess. And not just, yes, Lord, his name, but also his character. And so he said, my name is Jacob. My name is Schemer. My name is the Conniver. My name, yes, Lord, is the Heel Catcher. My brothers and sisters, it's only after Jacob acknowledged who he was that the Lord God blessed him. Meaning part of the process of knowing God involved knowing ourselves. Because until God revealed the power of our sinful nature to us, we tend to think that we are not all that bad. And I'm not that bad of a sinner. In fact, I'm a pretty good person. But Christ didn't come and die for good people, but he came to save sinners. And so until we come to realize, like Paul in Romans 7:18, that nothing good dwells in our flesh, and we will continue to depend on ourselves and our goodness more than we depend on the Lord. And so God's breaking process revealed to us the power of the flesh. But even more, God's breaking process reveals to us the power of God. Because before God touched Jacob and crippled him, he probably thought that the fight was pretty evenly matched. But soon he realized that God was on playing with him, like a lion playing with a little mice. And suddenly he realizes the power of God. And in the same way, until God breaks us, we have the tendency to think that we are in control of all of the affairs of our lives. We are directing things as the best we think. But then the lion roars, and in one easy swipe, he cripples us, and we learn of his awesome power. We learn that obedience is not an option, but it's only our reasonable course of action. Now, my brothers and sisters, the frailty of our body should make us aware of our weakness and our need to submit to God. Because every time we're sick or get injured, and when we feel the aches and pains of old age, we should acknowledge the fact that we are not God. We are weak and frail, and only God is God. And we must depend totally on him and live in submission to him. And so God blesses us as we cling to him in brokenness. But we want to cling to the Lord until we are broken. Because often our greatest victories come out of the ashes of our greatest defeats. And so as soon as Jacob was crippled, he was able to hang on to the Lord for dear life, saying, I won't let you go until you bless me. And Jacob's blessing after being crippled took the form of a brand new name. And Jacob's name was changed from trickster, yes, Lord, to Israel, which is one who strives with God. And so Jacob, who is now Israel, he limps for the rest of his life. Everywhere Jacob went, Brother Colwell, folk would ask him, brother, why are you limping? Somebody may be looking at me today and say, Armstead, what you doing with that stick? Why are you limping? Oh, Lord. But you know I'd rather limp my way into heaven than to run all the way into hell. Ain't God all right? I believe we all need to understand that no matter how good you are, we all have a limp. Ain't God all right? So we ought to stop wrestling and fighting and to surrender our lives to the Lord. We need by confessing our sins, and he will forgive us and bless us. And if you're not saved by faith, you need to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. And he will save your soul. And like Jacob, he'll give you a new name and a brand new nature. Your name will be changed from sinner unto saint. Your nature will be changed from prideful to humility. Like Jacob, we all have a limp. Because every time Jacob limped, it was a constant reminder that God won at last. Let me ask you this morning, does every limp in your life remind you of your weakness? Does it make you conscious of the evil that's within? So in closing, God removed all of Jacob's false securities that night and made him dependent upon God alone. The God of Jacob became his refuge. And so now he relied on God's power rather than his own conniving ways. Because when Jacob was limping to face Esau, Reverend Smith, he wasn't able to run now because he was now crippled. But in his weakness, he was now more powerful in God's strength than he would have been in his own scheme and strength. Yeah, we may be weak physically, but if the Lord is in your life, you got some power. Because the Bible says, it says, great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, why is he great, Armstead? I'm talking about Jesus, the Christ, the one who hung bleeding and died out on Calvary's hill. He died that we might live. Yes, he did. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there all night, Saturday night, all night, Friday night, all night, Saturday night. But it was somewhere between 12 midnight and early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. But the good news is, one day he got up in my life. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place. I tell you, he has made me glad. Yes, I got a limp, but I'm saved. I got a limp, but I'm redeemed. I got a limp, but I'm on my way to heaven. I got a limp, but Jesus, he's right by my side. Yeah, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I'm not worried because Jesus is right by my side. I got goodness on my right side. I got mercy on my left side. I got Holy Ghost on the inside. I got God all around. I got Jesus out in front. I'm going to say like Reverend Ike used to say, you can't lose with the stuff I use. Yeah, Lord, ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he save your soul from a burning hell? Ain't God all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Yes, no. Some of us need to stop wrestling with God. And surrender to him. When you surrender your life to the Lord, he will bless.